During his rally in Phoenix, President Trump spoke about former Sheriff Joe Arpaio and a possible pardon for what many call politically motivated charges against him.
During his speech at the Phoenix Convention Center Tuesday night, Trump spoke briefly about former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay?
Arpaio didn't attend the rally and has been convicted of not stopping traffic patrols targeting illegal immigrants after being ordered to do so by a federal judge.
I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay?
Before the rally started, the White House said Trump would not act on Arpaio at the event, nor would he even talk about the issue.
But Sheriff Joe can feel good.
Experts say presidential pardons are extremely rare, especially when it's their first year in office.
Multiple watches being issued as Tropical Depression Harvey gets closer to the Texas Gulf Coast. National Weather Service forecasters have issued a tropical storm watch for Houston and a hurricane watch for Galveston until further notice. USA Radio News.
Get incredible deals on the latest flooring trends at Lumber Liquidators Fall Flooring Kickoff Sale and transform your home today. All pre-finished hardwood and all bamboo is on sale, including $1 off per square foot on 17 Bellawood floors. Get the best deals on the best selection of Woodlook waterproof floors, like 45% off vinyl plank, 43% off Woodlook tile, and 17% off new Click ceramic plank. More from 49 cents plus special financing. The Fall Flooring Kickoff Sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators.
A disgraced former intelligence officer is trying to raise the money to buy Twitter so she can block President Trump. Here's more on that story from Chris Barnes.
Valerie Plame Wilson is mounting a GoFundMe drive to try to raise $1 billion for a controlling interest in Twitter. Why? Purposely so she can ban President Trump from that social media site. Wilson says Trump is emboldening white supremacists and promoting violence against journalists. She's raised $3,000 since launching the drive last week. Wilson, you might remember, for having been revealed as a CIA operative because of a leak during the George W. Bush administration. I'm Chris Barnes.
Police in New York are searching for a man that shoved a woman onto subway tracks after telling her he was going to do it.
Police say the suspect shoved a 49-year-old woman onto the northbound F tracks at an East Village subway station at about 9 Tuesday night. Fortunately, no train in sight. Police Captain Sean Liu.
Luckily, there were some good Samaritans that jumped onto the tracks and helped her up.
The subway pusher fled. The victim reportedly in serious but stable condition with a head injury. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
White House advisor Jared Kushner being snubbed by Egypt's foreign ministry. Egypt's chief diplomat canceled today's meeting with Kushner and other U.S. officials because the Trump administration cut aid to Egypt. The administration cut almost $100 million in economic and military aid yesterday. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list, and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you again for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, today is another one of those classic American dream stories. It's about a 19-year-old boy's startup, little startup business, I will say, with a $100 loan and a used bicycle that today has now grown to an $80 billion valued worldwide company called UPS. And the other part of our success story is how an entry-level employee navigated his way to the positions of chairman and CEO of UPS. That man is our guest and our friend on Legends of Success today, folks. Let's say hi to Oz Nelson, the retired chairman of UPS. Oz, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, John. It's nice to speak with you again.
Well, it is. I think this makes, what, our third visit. Is that correct, Oz?
It is the third one, yes.
First time we were on with your dear friend, Jimmy.
Yes. Jimmy Carter is a fun person to talk about because he does so many good things, and I was just thrilled that you gave him the recognition that I believe he richly deserves.
Oz, give us a vision here, or just an overview. First of all, we're going to get into to your story. And folks, when I say that Oz is a retired chairman and CEO of UPS, it's not just the retired chairman, and that's a pretty honorable position to have had. But in a time of critical growth years when they went global, we're going to get into that. He had some major decisions to help make and decide upon that were never made with UPS before. And the overview today, well, I mentioned $80 billion. Did I come up pretty close?
Yeah, you're very close there. I'd say revenues would be in the area of probably $45 billion this year or so.
That's pretty serious. And how many employees today?
Well, I believe they've crossed the 400,000 mark again and still growing. And we're growing a little faster internationally than we are domestically. So it's nice to see more dynamicism on the international growth because that's an area that we don't have as large a market share as we could have.
Especially the way it's opening up. And when I spoke with you last, Oz, I believe that UPS was the 11th largest airline anywhere and has probably gotten larger since.
I think you're right. I heard 9th largest and 11th largest, and I'm not sure which one is accurate because, you know, the way they merge airlines these days, it's kind of hard to keep up with it, but it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. Well, we certainly know there's some flyer miles there, aren't there?
Well, for sure.
So when we take a look how big this global company is, let's go back to the beginning because you have a man who founded this company whose name is hardly known to the public, but certainly UPS is known. So take us back to the beginning in 1907 and just a little bit of story there, Oz.
You bet. Be glad to. Jim Casey is a subject that all UPSers enjoy talking about because he was such a great human being as well as the spark that grew the company throughout the years. He worked with us for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the company was actually formed in 1907 in Seattle, Washington. And if you go out to Seattle on a visit sometime, if you don't already happen to live there, you can go to their park downtown, and you can see a beautiful waterfall pocket park there on the corner in downtown Seattle that is supplied by UPS and maintained by the Annie E. Casey Foundation that marks the spot where UPS was founded. Now, we weren't founded in that exact spot. We were actually founded underneath it because our first offices were our first office was about an 18 by 20 room that was actually below the surface underground in Seattle. And that's where Jim Casey began our operations. And we didn't actually adapt the name UPS, United Parcel Service, for a few years later, but he began as Red Arrow Messenger, or American Messenger Service.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we were delivering messages from the local telephone out to people, because most folks didn't have telephones then. We were delivering meals to hotel rooms, even pitchers of beer, and I think I told you earlier, probably some marijuana to the hopheads who came down from the Alaskan gold mines and were on recreation in Seattle before they were gearing up to head back up again. I mean, a little bit of everything.
Wow.
And initially, deliveries were on foot and streetcars as they became available, and bicycles and motorcycles. And then we took one of the very first Model A trucks and converted it to a car.
Mm-hmm.
And we have great pictures of that truck stuffed with packages tied on the top, packages tied on the sides of it. They were getting as much as they could out of each vehicle. And while we don't tie packages on the top or the sides anymore, we certainly do utilize the space inside to the fullest extent so we can keep our costs down and maintain efficiency. So that came from way back then.
Well, you mentioned back in the beginning on efficiency. He ran a pretty tight ship. He had some founding business policies and principles that were that are still with UPS today, I believe. Share a couple of those founding principles and how this man operated.
Well, one of the things that he really believed in, and they took this and put it on a post around town, is that American Messenger Service had the best service and the lowest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it sounds simple to say that, but if you want to live it, it's not so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It means you have to have a level of dedication to meeting commitments regardless of the situation, regardless of the weather, regardless of high-volume periods and low-volume periods. You had to meet your delivery commitments. And that has been a hallmark of the company ever since then. And it's a mortal sin to us to disappoint customers and not deliver packages when they should be delivered. And we work very, very hard to meet our commitments. And we go to a huge, huge amount of trouble to document and have the right information available so we know how we're doing. So if there is a slippage somewhere, we can immediately go after fixing it so it doesn't reoccur.
Sure. And, you know, one other thing I wanted to mention is that in the very beginning, this guy was a no-nonsense kind of person. Was he not? Like military discipline and reliability over being flashy, wasn't he?
Yes. What was important to him was his word and the service levels we provided and the appearance. He felt that our vehicle should be clean and neat when we went into our truck fleet. He felt that we should have neatly uniformed and polite delivery representatives who our shipping customers would be proud to have them represent them for the deliveries. And he was very particular about it, who he hired. And they spent more time in training than you would expect back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all establishing a base minimum that we would build on as the company grew and expanded around the country.
Well, I've got to say, as we get back from this next break, the one question I want to lead in and you think about is, and everybody knows this, and folks, nobody pays to come on this show, but we all know it's incredible that when any UPS driver you meet, I would say 99% of them, they are friendly, they're always in a good mood, and they're so dedicated to that company. And I want to ask you, Oz, when we get back, what can other employers and business owners learn from UPS to create such a dedication to their company? Ladies and gentlemen, Oz Nelson, retired chairman and CEO of UPS, is our guest today on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this is John Resnick from Legends of Success radio program. If you've got your sights set on moving up the corporate ladder to the executive suite, here's a power tip. Remember, it's not about you. Focus on making those around you better.
Take it from Jack Welch, the legendary CEO of General Electric.
We've been able to make a real impact on people by talking about the fact that when you become a manager, the biggest transition that occurs is it goes from being about you to being about them, your people. And you'll only be as good as the people you build up around you. And you should see eyes light up over this concept and then get dialogue about it. It is such a refreshing thing to see young kids getting out of school. They're all eager to do their thing. I said, but in 2 or 3 years when you become a manager, you got to stop thinking about you. It's going to be about them. You'll only be as good as they make you.
For more about Legends of Success, visit legendsofsuccess.com.
Today, we're talking about your budget and budget blinds.
People get so hung up on that word budget.
Listen, everybody's got a budget. Budget Blinds is all about getting the window coverings you really want at a price that fits your budget.
Right. They have exclusive designer styles, hundreds of choices.
And Budget Blinds gives you expert service. None of that do-it-yourself. The pros bring the showroom to you, then do it all. Measure and install.
What a relief.
That's style and service for every budget.
And right now, during their 25th anniversary celebration, it's the biggest sale of the year with special upgrades and offers.
Explain the free upgrades, like the invisible tilt for shutters.
Make shutters look cleaner, more contemporary. Same with the free cordless upgrade on honeycomb shades. No cords. Look sleek and uncluttered.
I like that. Just call this number. It's easy to remember. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
855, then the name, Budget Blinds. Or go online.
BudgetBlinds.com.
Remember, budget means getting custom window coverings at a price that fits your budget. And remember, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Oz Nelson, retired chairman and CEO of United Parcel Service, UPS, is our guest today on Legends of Success. Before we took a break, I wanted to ask Oz so he can share with the listeners who are business owners, and we have thousands and thousands of them across the country. Oz, what is it that UPS has done to create such an allegiance and a dedication of the workers to UPS? Because everybody knows that those UPS drivers that we see and the people at the counter, honestly, I'm not hyping this, they're always friendly, they're always into their job. What did UPS do that's different?
Well, I think it all starts with the person you hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be very careful about who you hire. You have to do your homework and carefully interview and really do a good job of assessing how that person might be projected as a delivery person for you. And secondly, we have a lot of good things going for us. I mean, we do pay a good wage, and it happens to be a good Teamster wage in the United States. and with good benefits. So we have going for us not only carefully selected and good people, but people who are paid well and rewarded for their performance. Thirdly, we have a promotion from within policy. And people at UPS start usually at the lowest level and work their way up through the company. And to give you an example, the fellow who followed me, Jim Kelly, as CEO, chairman, was hired as a driver in New Jersey. And the fellow who succeeded him, Mike Eskew, who is our current chairman and CEO, was hired directly out of Purdue as an industrial engineer working for us. And if you were to talk to the management committee group at the corporate level, which is about the top 13 or 14 people in the company, if you spoke to each one of them, you'd hear stories such as, I started working for UPS as a part-time package sorter while I was going to college, or I was hired as a driver here, or any one of those low-level roles, and they worked their way up. So a driver from UPS, if they have the interest, can count on and do a good job, can count on being promoted, so they have a great opportunity there. Now, we have a lot of people that never leave that job. They like it. Just think about this. You start out in the morning with a package car. We call our trucks package cars.
Still.
Filled with their delivery packages. And they go out and deliver them. They meet people who are looking forward to receiving their deliveries and are usually surprised about how fast they got there and how well they had been cared for. Our damage levels are quite low. And they make pickups in the afternoon from shippers who are big supporters of ours, and they have learned to depend on our service, and they know our rates have been reasonable and fair, and our service levels are actually the highest in the industry, that, that no one can beat them. And so they have a nice atmosphere to work in. On top of that, when they leave that building during the day, they're in charge. There's nobody breathing over their neck, looking at them and telling them what to do. They have to know what to do.
Sure.
Now, we train them to do it. But they're out there on their own during the day, and, you know, they're our best ambassadors. They're the most important employees in our company, and I say that over the CEO or anybody else in the company. They are the people that are the face and the smile and the voice of UPS, and we devote a lot of time to motivating them and working with them, keeping them informed. We try to make what the company does transparent. We send lots of information to their homes. We hold an AM meeting each morning with our drivers in which something is discussed for a few minutes with them. It may be telling them about new advertisements that will be going out, or it may be giving them some safety tips to remind them to drive safely. It could be any number of things, but every day there is such a meeting. There are just hundreds of thousands of them going on around the world every day with our people. All of this to keep them motivated and informed so they can be a good representative of ours. And, of course, we also all operate on a first-name basis. If I were to walk in as chairman and CEO of UPS into an operating center, you wouldn't hear any Mr. Nelsons. You'd say, hi, Oz.
That's
good
great.
To see you here.
Yeah.
And we like it that way. It's less formal.
Well, I think that's great. And I was also told by a number of your coworkers over the years that you have an open-door policy. If any one of those coworkers really needed to speak with you, the chairman, they could get to you. Is that, was that actually correct?
Yeah, they could, and they did. You know, I answered my own phone when I was in the office, and no secretary answered my phone. And it surprised me from time to time. Our offices were pretty open, and if a driver and his wife on vacation happened to be coming through wherever our corporate headquarters were, they would come into the building, and they'd walk right into my office sometimes with the kids and introduce themselves and bring the kids in, and we'd get a chance to chat for a few minutes and say hello. But they felt, the important thing is they felt that they could do that, and that they would be welcomed to do that, and in fact they were.
It's amazing how far you can go when you show people you really care.
It makes a difference.
It really does. UPS has had also a very uncanny ability to adapt. Jim Casey started out on a used bicycle, correct? And then cars come in, and all of a sudden, when more automobiles and more phones start coming in, that must have been a great threat to his service. But he learned to adapt and roll with the punches.
Yes, we had to, as we moved along. We had to embrace various technologies, whether it be in vehicles or other sorting technologies or barcodes or whatever they might be. I think I told you earlier the story about how UPS became brown. And I'll remind you of that if you
please,
want me to.
Sure, please do.
We had purchased our first vehicle and converted it to a truck, and then we got a few more, and each one was painted a different color. And theory was that, well, if we have lots of colors, people will think we have lots of trucks. And but we soon ran out of colors. So they began looking around to find out, well, what is the right color for us? Mm-hmm. And it ought to be something conservative, and it ought to be something that people would think of as being dependable. And they got to thinking about the brown Pullman cars that were on some trains. And they went to the railroad people and said, why are your trains painted brown? And they said, well, simple. Brown doesn't show dirt. And, boy, that sure hit our people very, very strongly because, you know, we were very concerned about what our appearance is with vehicles and drivers.
Sure.
And so they decided to go with UPS brown. It's a special brown. It's actually been patented our color, but it's and it's not changed over the years.
Well, it seems to work. It seems to be working, and obviously, kind of reminds me of a Hershey bar. I got to plug our local Hershey company here.
Well, it is. They're a good customer, by the way.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure they are. UPS had the ability to adapt over the years. Let's go to 1959. A young Oz Nelson joins UPS. First of all, where were you before UPS?
I was in school. I was at Ball State Teachers College then. It's now Ball State University.
But, mm-hmm.
I graduated from Ball State, and a few weeks before I graduated, I got a phone call from a fraternity brother saying, do you have a job yet? And I said, no, I've got two or three interviews coming up, but I really don't have a job yet. And he said, well, why don't you think about coming to work for UPS? Of course, hardly anyone knew anything about UPS then. They'd only been in Indiana just about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew about them because I had a fraternity brother working there, and he told me some interesting stories about them that had impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned UPS to my father, who ran a factory in Kokomo, Indiana, and he told me that he was impressed about how good the service was, how hard the drivers worked, and how good the equipment looked. So I'd only heard posties about it, so I drove down to Indianapolis, and this gentleman sat down with me, and he says, well, I understand you're about to graduate from school. How soon can you be ready to work? And I said, well, I could be ready to work about a week as soon as I get out of school. And he said, well, if you're half the man, and he named two of my fraternity brothers who worked for UPS, said, if you're half the man they are, we want you, you're hired.
Wow.
And I accepted a job without even knowing what the pay was.
Is that right?
We hadn't even discussed it. And it's probably just as well that I didn't know.
But kind of start out a low wage, Oz?
Yeah, started out, I like to tell people that my first wage at UPS was $325 a month. I know that doesn't sound like much money today, but back then, it still wasn't much money.
I love it. And, you know, folks, when we get back from this break, you know, it's just a great story in America. A great American-based business has now gone global and continues to go global. But it's really reassuring to a lot of the large companies out there who operate in the same manner that you can start where Oz did, and that was as a service person. We're going to get back and find out from that first job, how in the world did he navigate to chairman? You've got to remember, there's a lot of employees here. Oz Nelson, in some ways, had to differentiate himself, as Jack Welch calls it, differentiation. We'll find out what Oz did to work his way to chairman and CEO of UPS. We'll be back on Legends of Success right after this.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It is time to heal the wounds that divide us and to seek a new unity based on the common values that unite us.
President Trump talking about unity during a speech to veterans in Reno, Nevada.
We are not defined by the color of our skin, the figure on our paycheck, or the party of our politics.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson addressed reporters concerning Afghanistan and the changes being made by the Trump administration. He said they are hoping with these changes they'll be able to turn the tide.
We believe that we can turn the tide of what has been a losing battle over the last year and a half or so, and at least stabilize the situation and hopefully start seeing some battlefield victories on the part of the Afghan forces.
House Speaker Paul Ryan spoke with reporters today about tax issues, saying he's very confident the U.S. tax code will be overhauled this year. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. For more information, visit John's website at legendsofsuccess.com. Learn about the legends, upcoming guests, get contact information, listen to the best of legends, see photos, and more at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, and we're visiting with our friend Oz Nelson, the retired chairman and CEO of UPS. And as we alluded to through in the early parts of this program, started out right out of college, and he started out as an entry-level position, making a little over $300 a month in 1959. Oz, what was that first job?
Well, I was hired as a customer service representative and salesman. Mm-hmm. So we were to do both. We were to go out and sell customers on using our service, and we were to then be the customer service representative who stopped by to see them to make sure everything was going okay and answer questions or help them out in any way we could with our services.
Mm-hmm. And how big was UPS in 1959, Oz?
Well, we had just about the time I came there, they were celebrating their 10,000th employee.
Okay. So we're looking at a very nice-sized company, and you're in Kokomo, Indiana, correct?
I'm in Kokomo, Indiana.
Yep. Not today, but you were, of course. And so what did Oz Nelson do to different? Jack Welch was on this program, and Jack started out as a chemical engineer for General Electric, ended up becoming chairman and CEO. How did Oz Nelson do to what did you do to differentiate yourself, Oz?
Well, you know, as I started out as a salesman, I really didn't know whether I was a good salesman or could even be a good salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a sales major. There was no such thing at my school, and not in very many others, although we do have it at Ball State now. But in any event, I just said, well, I'm going to learn everything I can about the company, and I'm also, because I don't know how good a salesman I'm going to be, I'm going to make more calls than anybody else, and if I'm just average, that'll give me above average sales because I'll be making presentations to many more people.
Mm-hmm.
And I, frankly, spent the evenings and the early mornings lining up prospects on 3x5 cars. I worked a section of the state of Indiana, and I would pull into a town and check into a motel in the evening and get out the yellow pages and 3x5 cards, and I would look under various categories and write the addresses of the companies that looked like they might be shipping packages,
mm-hmm.
and then I would sort them out in the most effective visit order I could. And the first thing in the morning, I would be at our operating center, if we had one in that town, talking to the drivers and asking them about some of these companies to see what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would, as fast as possible, as soon as I thought they were open around 8 o'clock in the morning, I would start visiting, making sales calls. And I was averaging back then 18 to 20 sales calls a day, when I think most salesmen probably were doing about 10 or 11.
How many were you closing?
I was probably closing, I would say I was probably picking up about three to five sales a day.
Mm.
And once you sell them, you had them forever because your drivers started stopping in the next day, and they stopped forever.
Wow.
We didn't have a contract or anything. It was just an agreement. And they paid us, at that time, $2 a week service charge, and that was a lot of money back then. but it wasn't much money for getting a delivery person to stop every day to pick up your packages.
Now, were you trained to do that, or was that natural instinct that you just picked up the yellow page? Did you figure this out on your own?
The fellow who trained me said you can look in the phone book for leads. I just probably took it another step by doing the cards and getting them all in order and that. Plus, I found that the driver, and I'm not the only one, but several people did find out the drivers who were delivering everywhere knew everybody, mm-hmm. and people knew them favorably. And it was a pleasure for me when I would call at a company I'd never been to before, and I'd say, I'm Oz Nelson from UPS. I'd like to talk to you about your small package shipments. They welcomed me in. They wanted to know more about the company. They were so impressed with the service they were getting. Even if they didn't have any packages to ship, they were receiving them.
Really?
And it was really a pleasant day, frankly.
Well, it was all good timing, too, in that era, wasn't it, Oz? This is something new that was growing, or was there a lot of competition at that time?
Well, the competition was, first of all, there was a company that's no longer in business called Railway Express.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember their green trucks, and they were a big company with thousands and thousands of employees. They were owned by a few railroads, and the railroads restricted them to using the railroads to move their packages between origin and destinations, which automatically slowed down their services. We were moving trucks over roads, taking the shortest routes, and we were, frankly, much faster and much more dependable than and charged less, too. But they were the big boy that we had to knock off, and we took a fair amount of business from them, and they later did go out of business. And it was a shame because a lot of people lost jobs that shouldn't have. And we also, of course, were competing with the post office, and the post office was our major competitor.
Sure.
And then there were the bus lines used to carry a lot of packages,
mm-hmm.
still do carry some. If you wanted to ship a package, maybe an auto part from point A to point B, and they happened to have a bus going on that route, the bus would charge you some money, and they would carry the package and leave it at their station, and the receiver could come to their bus station and pick it up, and you could have it maybe in 2 or 3 hours sometimes. So there was that also.
Well, it could have been, but, you know, again, I go back to Oz, that you folks did something to differentiate. And if you could just say one or two things, and maybe it's repetitive or redundant from earlier, but still important for our business owners, what were those one or two things that you did that was different that really beat out the competition?
Well, first of all, we were highly reliable,
mm-hmm.
and we were very economic. And going back to Jim Casey's first advertisements of best service, lowest rates,
mm-hmm.
that's what we actually provided.
I love it.
And we did it day in and day out, and we held ourselves accountable for meeting that commitment. And we still do it today. And I've told a number of people that it doesn't make any difference if there's a parade going down the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York City, or if there are bad weather warnings in various parts of the country. If it's humanly possible to be there, we're going to be the one that's there. And even when Hurricane Katrina hit, I think you'd know if you went down and talked to folks, the first people to show up down there was UPS vehicles.
I love it. And you know, folks, when we get back, I've got to take a quick break here. We're going to find out Oz worked his way up, to developing, by 1975, he is developing this company and the management team to expand outside the U.S. I wish the show could go for 2 hours, Oz. But we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with our friend Oz Nelson, retired chairman and CEO of UPS.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
From startup and survival to success and significance, you'll hear how they did it. Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, visiting with our friend Oz Nelson, retired chairman and CEO of UPS, but certainly not retired in his life. We're going to get into what he's doing now in a little later in this program. Hey, Oz, before we took a break, we talked a little bit. I mentioned Jack Welch and how he talked about differentiation. I believe you knew or you worked with Jack or had some experience. If you did, what differentiated Jack when you worked with him, or what were your experiences that made him different?
Well, Jack was a very direct man, I think, and he was quick to the point, but very friendly and very nice. And I considered him a business friend. And he and I worked together on their United Way program. In fact, at one time, he asked me to fly up to the training center and address their managers from around the country about United Way and some things they might be able to do to be more supportive of United Way, because he personally was a big supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And we also were a customer of his. We bought some jet engines from him and made a huge number of deliveries for General Electric and various facilities around the country. So we had some reasons to have communications from time to time, but we certainly weren't his biggest customer by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But two of the things that I really admired about him, one is that any time I called Jack, whether it be to raise some money for a charity or for a business purpose, he got back to me usually within a matter of minutes, and certainly within a half an hour to an hour. And in fact, the last time I think I called him, when he was still CEO, he was on a flight to Europe from the United States, and he called me back in about 35 or 40 minutes from the airplane.
Wow.
And it just it just showed you that how much respect he gave to his responsibilities as a leader to get back to people who wanted to be in touch with him and remain accessible. And it isn't easy to remain accessible in the kind of a job that he had.
Oh, absolutely.
Secondarily, as I said, the other thing I admired about him so much is I found him to be a very human person, not at all as, you know, he's depicted as being, you know, an iron man and very demanding, and he did expect a lot from his people, and who shouldn't?
Sure.
I also found him to be very caring, and I thought he was the kind of person you'd like to have as a good friend.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was on this program, and I just said to him one day, and I want to get off the UPS story, but real quick, I just said to him one day, gee, I'd love to pick your brain sometime. You know what he said, John, here's my home phone number. Give me a call and come up and visit. And I did. I mean, Oz Nelson, the retired chairman and CEO of UPS, is our guest today on Legends of Success.
Legends of Success.
When it comes to new window coverings, everybody has a budget. And Budget Blinds is the one place that understands you and your budget perfectly. Budget Blinds provides more custom window coverings than anyone in North America because we think that everyone, at every budget, deserves beautiful style, expert service, our no-surprises pricing, and our no-questions-asked warranty. Right now, during our 25th anniversary celebration, you'll get an even better value during the biggest sale of the year. Special upgrades like invisible tilt bar on shutters, free smart fit, or a cordless option on honeycomb shades for a clean, uncluttered contemporary look. Book your free in-home consultation now. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Forget do-it-yourself. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS and get style and service that fit your budget. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Our guest today on Legends of Success is Oz Nelson, retired chairman and CEO of UPS. Oz, by 1975, you're deep into management, aren't you?
Yes, for sure. I'm up to my ears in it. In 75, we were in a process of opening our two first foreign operations, and one was in West Germany, and the other one was in Canada.
Right.
And I ended up involved for a year and a half in West Germany, and then when I came out of there, I got very involved in Canada, so I was up to speed on both, and each one had a different challenge for us. In Canada, we first went in the Toronto area, And you would think the United States and Canada being such good friends, it would be reasonably easy for an American company to come and do business there. But actually, we found that to be maybe the most difficult country we had dealt with over the years afterwards. They refused to give us trucking licenses, and we actually acquired a number of checker cabs, and we were making deliveries out of checker cabs.
That's amazing.
And if you remember my story earlier about the first UPS vehicle that we converted, well, that's what the checker cabs looked like. They had packages squeezed into those vehicles. It was almost, the drivers could barely turn the steering wheels. But we had to do that to survive and grow the company. And they thought we'd go away, and we didn't.
Well, that was 75. I understand it took 5 years to get your tractor trailers fully licensed.
Well, to get all the licenses we needed, it took that number of years. We had a hearing, a very extensive hearing, in which several hundred Canadian businessmen testified on our behalf, saying that our services were needed and they didn't have anyone else who could provide services the way we could at the prices we could do it and the dependability levels we had. But we were actually turned down. At that time, you had to go through a commission there. And we later learned that our opponent's lawyer wrote the decision.
Oh, boy.
And when we found that out, we repetitioned, and we had to go back through the process of having a whole new hearing. And, of course, when it was all over, we finally got the rights, and then it's been a very tough competitive situation up there. We have a good operation there. It's grown dramatically now, and it is profitable, but it was a struggle.
I understand. I've got a description of those in those checkered cabs that you removed the back seats, you put a roof rack on the top, and you added a U-Haul trailer on the back. And then to go into Canadian cities and towns, use Chevy Impalas, and again, rip the seats out of the front and the back just to stack up packages.
Well, you got to deliver packages. Packages need some space, and they won't let you use trucks. So you do what you can. And West Germany was a similar situation. It took us a while to learn the customs and know how to adapt our systems to meet the requirements of their legalities of operations and the needs of their customers. It's still picking up and delivering packages, but there are a lot of translations in between. And it took us quite some time to get that operation into the black, but we did. And now we have a very large, successful operation there. And I'll let it go at that for now, then.
Well, we're going to bring you back later on throughout the year anyway. We'd love to have you here. But I remember you had a quote that I saved from you, and I think it went something like, to go global, you must think local.
Well, we did learn that although we were as knowledgeable as anyone about how to provide package delivery services, you can't sit in an office in the United States and project an operation in any country. You have to be there and see how they operate, see what they want, learn the differences of how you out and hire and interview people. And it was a good lesson. I did the first marketing study I ever had done in my life was in West Germany. And it was very helpful to me to have done it myself, because then I understood more about that market than I would have if I were trying to tell somebody from the United States what we needed to do there.
Oz, when you take an executive like yourself who is there at the critical years of globalizing, going global, and then eventually you decide to retire, I can't imagine somebody with the experience and quite frankly, the power that you've had over the years that you're just sitting around fishing. What are you doing?
Well, I've got lots of things going. I would like to say one more thing about UPS.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to think that UPS's growth or success or anything else is because of Oz Nelson. It was because of all my partners and the people I worked with. It was a team effort. It still is today. And if you talk to Mike Eskew, our current chairman and CEO, he'd say the same thing. There is no one person that runs a company of that size. It's a whole lot of people with the best of intentions, working together to make it happen. And the CEO's ideas aren't always the best ones, and the best CEOs are smart enough to know that and do a lot of listening.
That's well put, because how can one person run 407,000 people?
For sure.
And I don't think you know them all on a first-name basis.
But anyway, what I'm doing today is, I've been retired for over 9 years, and I had planned to devote at least 5 years to working for nonprofits. I was already doing some work with, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to have a lot more time to do that work. Well, it's now been almost 10 years, and I'm still whacking away at it. But I, in addition to the Carter Center, which has been a real love, and it's also been great to get to know Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. Whom I had never met until I moved to Atlanta. It's also been great for me to work with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC as it's known. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to spend a fair amount of time chairing their foundation, and I also now chair an organization called the Friends of the CDC, and that's a small group of companies along with a few CEOs and former CEOs, such as Bernie Marcus, from who founded Home Depot, and Phil Jacobs, a former president of Bell South Georgia, and I have done a lot of lobbying on the Hill and raised about $1.2 billion and build new facilities and better laboratories and safer laboratories for the CDC folks, and some really important work being done there, and I'm just very privileged to be able to be a little part of it.
Oz, you're a good friend. You've always been a great supporter of our program and our efforts here to get these good stories out to America.
Well, just keep doing more of the good work you've been doing, because I know you're getting the word out, and I bet you a lot of folks enjoy hearing about it.
Well, thank you very much. We're just fortunate to be a conduit to bring the Oz Nelsons and the others in the world just to share them, because I don't know where else people are going to hear these behind-the-scenes stories. I also want to thank our team at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, and, of course, the beautiful and intelligent Billy Resnick for her help every week. You've been listening to Legends of Success. Most of all, thank you for joining us. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.